On Daf Pei Hei Omer Aleph, we're up to Omdim Kama Odom Kayotze B'Zerotze Litol. But before we do that, I just wanted to add one thing to yesterday's discussion. The Gemara asked, according to Rebbe, why do I need the Pasuk of Chabura Tachas Chabura? And the Gemara answers, L'domim yiserim. Now, we explained yesterday the sugi of domim yiserim according to Rashi, and that is that even in a place where there's kviya, and he pays tashlume tsar because there's no chavola, and there's no chabura, I should say, he still has to pay additionally a nezek on chabura. And here, Tosus is not happy with Rashi, Tosdim Maskal Domim, because he thinks that there's no logical reason why he shouldn't pay both the Tsar for the Tsar and the Tashlume Nezek for the Nezek. And therefore the Re offers another suggestion as to what Rebbe derives from the Pasuk Domim Yiserim, meaning from Chabura Tachas Chabura. And the Re explains that there are two dimensions to Tsar. There's Tsar Sha'asa Bo Roshem, and there's Tsar Sha'lo'asa Bo Roshem. And what's the Tsar Sha'asa Bo Roshem, and why should that exceed beyond regular Tsar Sha'lo'asa Bo Roshem? The answer says the Re is HaNizak Mizgana Al Yedei Roshem. There are bodily blemishes or scars on his body, and that itself is something that causes him Tsar, and it lowers his status, so to speak, because his body doesn't look attractive, and that's a Tsar Sha'asa Bo Roshem, and that's the Chiddush of Domim Yiserim, that is going to be a payment not only for the Tsar per se, but also for the Gnai and the Gnus that's a result of the Roshem. And that's what we derive from Chabura Tachas Chabura. Now, to start our study for today, let's remind ourselves that the Mishnah records those various cases of Tsar, and that's Kovo B'Shipud, B'Masmer, Tziporno, all these different types of inflictions that cause the Nechbal pain, even though it doesn't make a Chabura. And how do we evaluate that tsar? How much does the chovel have to pay? Omdim kama adam kayotze bezerotze litol lios mitztayarkach. How much would somebody be willing to pay if he was similar to the nechbal and he would pay in order to avoid such a tsar? The Mishnah explains that the shum of tsar, in the case where einim or nezek, as we saw back in the Sugyan Pei Dalet Amid Beis, and the Gemara now goes into more detail to analyze exactly how do we estimate the exact figure, the exact price tag for Tsar when there is a Chabola. So we have two Sugyas of Shuma, one we covered yesterday on Pei Dalet Amid Beis, and that's the case of Tsar She'enimo Nezek. How do we evaluate that Tsar? And now we move on to the case of Tsar B'mokom Chavola B'mokom Nezek. And if you count down from the top of the Omud, we are on the end of line 4, beginning line 5. Tsar B'mokom Nezek Heichi Shaminon. In other words, let's say, for example, if the chovel removed the arm or the leg of the nechbal, he will pay him the dmei ever, the value of that limb that was removed, but hechi shaminon. How do we evaluate exactly what the price tag should be? And keep in mind, he's paying him already for the dmei nezek. And Rashi here says, hechi shaminon es hatzar, Hallo Yeshlo Lakotzitsa Bishvil Adomim Shenotel. And what that means is that since the Chovel pays Tsar, it's almost as if since the cholo pays nezek, it's almost as if the lost limb has already been bought, in a sense, again in quotation marks, already been paid for. And now what we have to do is we have to isolate the tzar. Amar avua de Shmuel, omdim kama adam rotza litol liktolo yado. How much would a person be willing to take in payment for the tzar of having his arm cut off? And the Gemara cannot accept that definition of Shuma and objects harsh way. The Gemara says, Liktolo yado, lo tzar lechudehu, da'kulu chamisha dvaram ika, viod b'shuftene askinon. First of all, the Gemara objects to this statement of Avud de Shmuel, because we're not only talking about tzar. That's not the only thing that has to be evaluated for the compensation, the responsibility of the chovel to compensate the nechpal, but also we're talking about all five categories of payment. In the case of ketias yad, where the chovel took off the arm of the nechpal, he's got to pay five categories, nezek, tzar, in addition to tzar, nezek, ripui, sheves, and boshes. And we're trying to figure out and isolate how much is the tzar worth. If you want to get a price tag for the tzar, you can't just ask the person how much would he be willing to take in order to have his arm amputated, because included in that price are all the categories of damages. You know, when the evaluation is made, We include, the evaluation and that sum will reflect all the various damages or forms and dimensions of damages, and not just tsar. So you haven't really isolated tsar. And furthermore, b'shutfen askinin, which kind of a shote, which kind of an imbecile, somebody that we don't even know exists, would agree to have his arm cut off for money? I mean, this reminds us of the Rashi on B'chol Modecha. But that's not the way the halacha should be formulated, addressing, as it were, Shutfenei. Ella, but rather the Gemara refurbishes this definition. And how do we do this umdana? Is we ask how much a person would take liktoa yodo aktua. It means his arm is not functioning. It's still attached to his body with a certain sinews or but again, it's only a loose connection to his body. The arm itself is not roi l'malacha. So therefore, that shuma does not reflect nezek and sheves, which are both connected to malacha. He's not doing malacha with this arm. The Gemara says, Yado aktua nami lo tsar lechude ika. Okay, you've excluded the elements of sheves, of nezek and sheves, but there's more than just tsar here in removing the arm. Ha tsar u boshes ika. There's also an element of boshes. Could you imagine the ksifa le milsis, humiliated le mishkal mibsaro le mishte le klovim, to remove his arm? And it's worthless, you throw it to the dog, so to speak. It's interesting that the post can derive from here that if you take an aver and amputate it from a live person, it doesn't need kfura. Although, it still would be metame kohanim, so you got to make sure that you put away the arm that was amputated in a very secure place that a kohen should not come in contact with it. In any event, the Gemara is still trying to come up with a method by which we can evaluate the tsar element and isolate it. Ela omdim kama odom rotza liton liktoa lo yodo hamuchtov lemalchus. At this point, we get into a more sophisticated system of evaluation. We're talking about a case where there was a gzeiras hamelech regarding this Jew whoever he is, I mean, you could call him a faceless imaginary figure, but his arm will be cut off by the king. And that's going to be, of course, a very, very painful kind of thing. Bein sam l'sayef. Let's say, for example, the nature of the gzeirah of the melech to remove someone's arm was not to remove it with pain. The king just wants the arm removed, and it can be removed through a sam. I guess in our day we would call it through a hardama, and there won't be any tsar at all. You know, these anesthesiologists will guarantee that there's no tsar. How much would a person be willing to pay such that when they take his arm off, let's say the Shliach HaMelech, who's in charge of executing the king's decree, instead of doing it with sam, in a painless way, which would be okay from the perspective of the Melech and the Shliach, to do it with a sayif? How much would a person be willing to take, kamos yitnu li osadim, how much would they give him to buy off that extra tsar? Amri, the Gemara says, that also is way out of the league. Hachinami lo shakil mitzari nafshe. In such a case, a person would not be willing to take all the money in the world and have himself suffer the ktia besayif, and you'd be out of the league of Shuma here, and you wouldn't be able to come up with a sum that would meet up to these, that would be significant enough to meet up to these standards of Shuma's tsar. Ella, the Gemara says, let's flip it around the other way. Omdim kama adam rotza liton liktolo yoda muhtav lemalchus bein sayif lisam. In other words, let's say the Melech Zer was that they would cut his arm off in this very cruel, butchery way with a sayif, with a knife, in such a way that it'll have tremendous amount of tsar. How much money would a person be willing to pay to the Shliach HaMelech in order that he would apply the sam and completely omit tsar? And that's the amount of most that indicates the shum of tsar. And the Gemara says, even that is not appropriate, because when it says in the Mishnah, Kama Odom Kayotze Bezerotze Lital Kidei Lios Mitztar, because here you're not talking about lital, you're not talking about being on the receiving end, you're talking about how much the person be willing to pay off the Shliach HaMelech to use the Sam. It should have said, Kama Odom Rotze Litain Kidei Shlo Yitztar Mi Boile. Amar Rav Huna Berei de Rav Yeshua. That's not such a great kasha, because what the Mishnah means is how much a person be willing to pay so that he doesn't suffer this tsar of cutting off his arm with a sayiv. Lital, and the word lital here in the Mishnah means lital zemizet, to take it from the nizak, to take the money from the mazik and pay the nizak. That's the lital min a mazik. Mashanon san zeh. In other words, the person who was the subject of this gzeira of the melech, that they should cut off his arm, and he would be willing to pay X amount of mos to the Shliach HaMelech, so that instead of a sayif, they would remove his arm with a sam, which is painless, and that sum of money is going to be paid from the mazik to the nizak, and that's called lito. Lito means taken from the mazik and paid to the nizak. But again, in terms of the shuma itself, we're talking not about lito, but rather how much the nizak would pay in order to avoid the pain of ktias yodo besayif. The Mishnah establishes that ripui hiko chayev l'raposo. Ripui means that if the chovel hit the mazik, hit the nechbal, in such a way that all about smachim, that not only was there a wound in the body, but as a result there were infections that were generated by the wound, caused by the wound. If it was caused by the wound, then the chovel has to pay all those damages, all those refuah expenses. But if it was shalom achmas hamaka, patur. And then if you remember, the Mishnah went on to say that if he had a temporary, he was temporarily feeling better, But then once again, the wound opened up or was infected, then the chovel has to pay the damages, the refuah, the medical expenses for all these, this entire chain of refuah as one led to the other. Now the Gemara quotes a brisa, which records a machlokes, and we'll soon see that there's a three-way machlokes amongst the Tanoim about the discussion about the case of Olubo Tzmochim, Tanur Rabbanan. When the Chachamim taught this brisa about ripui, that the Chovel has to pay ripui to guarantee that there'll be a process of curing the Makkah, and then the Olubo Tzmochim, as a result of this Makkah, the Nechbal has a situation where he has Tzmochim. Tzmochim are all sorts of accompanying, beyond the Makkah itself, on the outside and around, the radius around, the circumference around the Makkah. He's got Tzoyim, he's got different cuts and wounds, because it's spreading. There's ababuos, which is sort of boils that indicate the infection is spreading, and all this is surrounding the Makom HaMakeh. Is in such a case, since it's Machmas HaMakeh, is therefore Nistera HaMakeh Chayv L'Raposo, so that the Chovel has to pay continuously a sum of money for medical expenses that include the tzmachim, that include the nistera, the fact that there was no complete healing, and as a result of the tzmachim and the spreading of the bacteria and the infection, the makkah itself is still very real, very alive. So the chovel has to pay for that as well. That's all included under the extended dmei ripui, because it's all machmas hamakkah, these tzmachim. And because of the tzmachim, chazra shuv hamakkah. Not only that, v'chayav litin lo dmei shivto. And so too, if the continuous impact of the makkah is felt, and therefore again, the nechbal could no longer go to work, he's got to sit home idly, he's unemployed, that expands the payment of Shivto, of Sheves, that the Chovel has to pay. And these expansions, in the case of Ripui and Sheves, apply all because this is a result of the Makkah. This is called Olubo Tzmochim Machmas HaMakkah. And you may recall that we saw something similar back in the Sugya of Shor Shenogach, where the Negicha continuously is mazik, the keren is still, so to speak, inside the victim. Here too, the makkah continues to inflict, to spread, and all this has to be paid for, according to this Tanakama, under ripui. We called it expanded ripui, and sheves, expanded sheves. But if we shalom achmas ha-makkah, if the makkah was healed, and now for other extraneous reasons, he suffers in the same place, some sort of injury, but that illness is not due to the makkah. Eino chayev l'raposo, the eino chayev litein lo dmei shivto. For that extended medical expenses of ripui or unemployment payments, that's not in the boundaries within the purview of the chavola, and therefore of the chovel. And the only extended payments of ripui and sheves that can be imposed upon the chovel are those that are machmas haptsoim, but not those that are shalom machmas hamakkah. All this is the opinion of the Tanakhama. Now the Braisa continues by presenting the Shita, the dissenting view of Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, af machmas hamakkah, even regarding the case where the tzmachim, that this expanded boils that we said around the guf hamakkah is machmas hamakkah. Nevertheless, although chayv l'rafoso, we have the extended chiyuv ripui, but eino chayv liten lo dmei shivto. Vis-a-vis those extended makos, tzmachim and so forth that we spoke about, even though the machmas Hamaka. Nevertheless, Rabbi Yehuda insists that you don't have to pay sheves. You will only pay sheves on the first round, meaning on the immediate result of the maka, the unemployment that he sustains. And now Chachamim, we have a third shita, and that is shifto urefuoso. There's a hekesh in the Torah. The pasuk says chak shifto yitim v'rapi yirapi, in one breath sheves and ripui. They go together as one unit, and therefore, extending the sheet of Rabbi Yehuda a major step further, kol shechay b'sheves chay b'ripui, she'eno chay b'sheves, eino chay b'ripui. In this case, since according to Rabbi Yehuda, the Tanakam embrace the Chachamim, the third sheet, embrace the sheet of Rabbi Yehuda, that there's no chiv sheves for the second impact of the Makkah, the third impact of the Makkah, even though they were all because of the first, the original Makkah. And the same thing has to apply now to Sheves. I'm sorry, the same thing has to apply to Ripui. And now we have three Shitos. We have the Shita of the Tanakama. He says you have to pay both Sheves and Ripui in the case of Tzmachim Sholo Machma Samaka. According to Rabbi Yehuda, we distinguish between Ripui and Sheves. As far as Ripui is concerned, you do have to pay. But Rabbi Yehuda says, you're potter from Sheves, and the Chacham say, you're potter not only from Sheves, but even from Ripui, by virtue of the equation, the Hekesh between Sheves and Ripui. The Rambam, in Perek Beis, Milchus Chovel Amazik, writes, that he's chayav b'ripui, u potter misheves. That is a codification of the halacha like Rabbi Yehuda. The Ravid is Masig in Asogas HaRavid, another Rishonim. They don't understand why the Rambam paskined in that way, unless the Rambam had a different girsa, and therefore the Shitos were a little bit different. But again, the Rambam is talking about a case where apparently it's Machmas Hamaka, and yet he pays Ripui and he's potter from Sheves. The Gemara says, "Mamaiko miflugi." What lies at the root and the svaras of this controversy, this three-way machlokas recorded in the Braisa? Amar Rabba, Ashkachtinu lerabbanon bevei Rav diasvi ka'amri. I found the Chacham in the Beis Hamedrash. They were sitting. They were studying this machlokas and analyzing it. Hacha. And here in this Braisa, with regard to Tzmachim Shalom Machmas HaMaka, is the Machlokas revolves about B'maka Nitna Le'eged. Eged means when you wrap something around. In this case, you're wrapping a bandage. Now, the Nechbal, obviously, would like to wrap around his Maka, and that is going to calm down some of the Tzar. Because if the maka is exposed and it gets cold and so forth and so on, it's going to add a decibel of pain level, upgrade the pain level. So therefore, the nechbal is very eager to cover the maka, as we always do. We put bandages around it. But on the other hand, the situation is such that the agad, which warms up the body, is going to have a detrimental effect as far as infections are concerned. Again, we're not talking here about putting on antiseptics or having him take oral antibiotics. We're talking about just simply, if you isolate the mark on the body, the open wound, and cover it and wrap it around through the principle of agad, then what's going to happen is that inevitably it's going to increase the probability of infection and the spreading of this maka, and it'll be olam lo bo tzmachim. Rabbanan Savri, according to the first day on this price, the first of the three, the Chachomim of the Tanakama, maka nitna le'eged. The Nechbal has perfect rights to reduce his pain factor by covering and bandaging up his wound, even if, as a result, it's going to increase the probability that there'll be tzmachim sha'olu, and we'll, in this case we'll call it na machmas ha-makav, machmas ha-eged. Nevertheless, that's all included within the circumference of the obligation of the Chovel to compensate the Nechbal. Because if not for this Chavola, the Nechbal would have no need to do this kind of thing, this Agad. He's only doing it because of the Chavola, and he's doing it to protect himself from the Tsar of the Chavola. He's allowed to do so. And the responsibility to pay any increment in the damages falls on the shoulders of the Chovel. And that means that he's got to pay both Ripui and Sheves. And all that is because Rashoi Li Ogda, he has permission to bandage up his wound. The Ravid adds that the Chachamim disagree with the, not the way we said it now, but the Chacham, meaning the Tanakhama, disagrees with the very principle, the very premise that Agad is itself a cause of Hezek for the Makkah. That's what it means that according to Tanakhama, there's Rishus on the Nechbal to cover, to bandage his wound. Going on, Rabbi Yehuda Savar Makkah lo nitna le'eged. That this Eged, because it's going to cause a spread of infection, therefore the Nechbal in financial terms to sue the Chovel has no right to do this action of Agad, and it's called Agad Shelo Bershus. And what is a result of this Agad is that the Tzmachim and so forth are increased. Is therefore, Rabbi Yehuda would say, fundamentally, there's no reason why the Chovel should incur additional costs of Ripui. However, the Tani Beikra, we're going to derive from the extra pasuk Verapo Yerape Mechayev, that the Chovel does have to pay, because again, ultimately, he was the first cause that led to this Agad and to the spreading of the Tzmachim. But that's because of the special drasha of Ripui. Sheves, on the other hand, lo tana beikra, we don't have a double language in the case of Sheves, is lo machayev. We go back to the Ikar Adin, the Svar itself, that the Chovel doesn't have to pay for damages for the extended Sheves that results from the fact that the Nechbal violated and was poshea by putting on these bandages and caused, in effect, the spreading of the infection. And all of this is the presentation by Rabbah in the name of the Rabbanim B'Bei Rav. However, he himself, Rabbah himself, although he transmitted this understanding of the Machlokes in the name of Rabbanim B'Bei Rav, Aminilu Ana, I'd like to tell you how I responded to this presentation of the Rabbanim B'Bei Rav. If you're right, and therefore according to Rabbi Yehuda, Maka lo nitno la'eged, the Nechbal has no Rishus, he has no a license to go ahead and bandage his wound in such a way that it's going to increase the infection and the spreading of the tzmachim, etc., is Ripui Nami Lo Machayev. It does make sense that because of an extra word in the pasuk, we'll have to figure out what to do with this drasha, but to say that something that's antithetical to logic, that as far as Sheves is concerned, there's no reason in the world that the Chovel should have to pay additional Sheves penalties and compensation prices because of the pshia of the Nechbal by doing this aga that he had no rishus to do. Why in the world would the Chovel now have to pay an extended ripui for something that resulted from the pshia of the Nechbal? But rather, says Rabba de Kuli Alma, Maka Nitno Lieged, certainly everybody agrees, even Rabbi Yehuda, that the Nechbal has full rights to bandage his Maka and reduce the pain level. But nevertheless, Lo Nitno Lieged Yisera. Sometimes what happens is the Nechbal, the patient, out of sheer desperation, he goes way too far. He oversteps his bounds. He ties up the wound with a very, very tight bandage, muhudak biyoser, and as a result, no air could come in, and the infection spreads. Rabbi Yehuda Savar, in such a case, even though, again, the Nechbal had rights to do the agad, but not in this particular fashion. He overstepped, he exaggerated it. Is kevan delo nitna li eged yisera. He had no right, the Nechbal, to put on this very, very tight bandage. Is therefore ripui de Torah bekra. In the case of ripui, the Torah doubled it over to tell you mechayev that the chovel is going to be chayev to pay the Nechbal for this extended ripui. And that's the double language of Rapa Yerapa. And even though you'll argue, how could the Chovel be responsible for something that in effect the Nechbal is poshea? The answer is it's not a real full pshia. Right? The action itself, the method of reducing pain through bandaging, through eged, is acceptable. And it is recommended, but he did it in a way in which he overstepped it. He overstepped his bounds. But Shevis Delotani Bekra Lomachayev. Because at the end of the day, the Nechbal shouldn't have done this tight, tight, unusual Eged. It resulted in the expansion of the damages of the wounds. And therefore, where there's no special Ribui, like Shevis, the Chovel does not have to incur those damages or extra payments. Rabbanan Savri, we're going back to the Tanakhama, this price, it came in the Tani Bekra. The Torah itself, in the case of ripui, had this double language to say that he's chayev. Even in this case, is Hashemis nami mechayev. Then the Torah is indicating the logic that should apply throughout, not just to ripui, but also to shevis. After all, they're equated in the pasuk. Came in the iskash leripui. There's a hekish between shevis and ripui in the pasuk. And therefore, just like with regard to ripui, Rabbi, do you agree that the chovel has to pay the damages based on the double language of Rapa Yerapa? So too, as far as shevis is concerned, there should be an extended payment. Now Rabbi takes it a step further, and he wants to understand why Rabbi Yudah rejects this hekesh. How could he split between ripui and shevis? For Rabbi Yehuda Savar, shevis lo mechayev. Demiata Rachmana. Rabbi Yehuda holds that in the case of Sheves, even though we should have derived by virtue of the Hekesh to Ripui that there should be a Chiyuv on the part of the Chovel to pay for the extended Sheves as a result of the Agad, but nevertheless there's a special Miut in the Pasuk, because with regard to Sheves, the Torah formulates it thusly, Rak Shivto Yitein. The Lashon Rak is always a Miut, and this Miut is coming to teach us then in the case of Olu Bot Smochim Achmas Eged, when the Nechbal made a bandage in such a tight way, Mehudak Bioser, in which he oversteps his bounds, and he went beyond the license of a normal Eged, beyond the parameters of a normal Eged, in such a case, the Torah says, Rak Shivto, to tell you that there's no payment and there's no responsibility on the part of the Chovel himself to pay for the extended Sheves due to this exceptionally tight Eged of Mehudak Biyosa that exceeds beyond the parameters of what is accepted practice. Virabbanan. Now we go back to the Chachovim who have postulated a Hekesh between Sheves and Ripui. What are they going to do with the word Rak? There's no miut here in Sheves, because at the end of the day, the Chacham say that the Chovel has to pay for both Ripui and Sheves. So what do we do with the Rak? And the answer is, L'shalom achmas amaka hudiyosa. The case, which is going to be explained later on, where the spreading of the maka was not at all due to the original maka. Again, what's the havamina that there should be any payment that we need the exclusion of Rak? That's going to be explained as we go along. The Gemara now refers and addresses the third opinion in the Braisa, the Rabbanan Basroi. They're called Basroi only because they're the later ones in the sequence as presented in the Braisa itself. The Amri Kol Shechayev B'Sheves Chayev B'Ripui Kol V'Kol She'eno Chayev B'Sheves Eino Chayev B'Ripui. Is Ripui the Tani Beikra Lomali? The Chachomim at the end of this price hold that the Chovel is potter for both Ripui and Sheves. So why did the Torah add this double language in Ripu, it says Verapo Yerape. What do we derive from that? Miboyle Lichritane, the Bei Rabbi Yishmael, the Tanya, the Bei Rabbi Yishmael, Omer, this is a very famous statement in Shas, Verapo Yerape Mikan, Shenitan Rishus, Lerofe Lerapos. That the extra word is teaching you that the physician is allowed to implement his medical practice, and he has license to do so. If not for this extra pasuk, we would assume that he has no license to do so. And we're going to explain Rashi in just a minute. But first, I want to mention to you the famous Rambam in Pirush HaMishnayos. He doesn't take the word Rishus on face value. He reinterprets this Gemara to say that according to Debei Rabbi Shmuel, not only is a Rofe permitted to implement all his medical procedures, he's also required to do so. It's a chiv, it's a mitzvah. And perhaps it comes under the drush in the Gemara in Sanhedrin Ayin Gimel, Vashevoso lo, the mitzvah of Hashavas Gufo, not just Hashavas Avedos Omamono. And the Gemara says you have to do whatever you have to do in order to save someone's mama that's going to be lost. Here too, we have to save someone's goof that's going to be lost. Now Rashi learns in a number of different places. I saw it in Masechet Pesachim, but it's also in Brachos and Daf Samach, that if not for this limud of Rabbi Shmuel, we would have thought that there's no permission for the rofe lerapos, and the response to illness has to be levakesh rachamim, to ask Hashem and petition God, to supplicate to God, because every makah is seen as an expression of God's divine wrath and God's punishment. We cannot interfere unless through tefillah, only through tefillah. The Ramban, at the end of Sefer Vayikra, when he describes the ultimate redemption in the Gula Asida, he says that in the perfect world we won't need Rofim, but in the world of Noeg Berefuos, to use the Ramban's terminology, meaning when we're not relying on Hashem totally, and we're in a mode of Ishtadlus, then the Rofi comes to be Merapa. And the Ramban learns that this Rishus is meant to encourage the Rofi, that he shouldn't be afraid of the possibility that he may inadvertently cause the death of his patient, and have to go into Golus, but rather the Torah is encouraging him to become a Baki in Merfuah, he should become an expert. And in a context of Noeg Berfuos, he should not be inhibited, but rather should apply all his knowledge and implement all his refuah. And as that's all in the case of Noeg Berfuos. In the case where a Chovel assaulted his Nechbal, the Torah is not going to rely on the, you know, the Achris Hayomim kind of paradigm of Nisim v'Niflos, that God will intervene and save the people. No, here the Chovel is working within the framework of nature, and therefore we will impose upon him penalties within the assumptions of nature, and this is going to be Noeg Berfuos. The Chovel will pay for all the expenses of the refuah. I'd like to mention also a very, very famous Rambam in Pirush Mishnayos in the Sugim Pesachim by Chizkiyahu HaMelech. The Gemara says that Chizkiyahu HaMelech hid a so-called Sefer Refuos, which was authored perhaps by Shlomo HaMelech, we're not sure. And Shlomo HaMelech, the Chacham Mikol Adam, included all the various remedies for all the different various illnesses, and Chizkiyahu HaMelech actually hid this Sefer. And Rashi understands that the reason he hid it is because people were relying so much on this book of medical remedies that they completely ignored tefillah. And the Rambam disagrees with that. The Rambam says that, let's say, for example, a person's hungry. So what are you going to tell him? That he's not allowed to eat because he's becoming healthy? Obviously, any sickness or any pains or suffering, a person has to alleviate them and do whatever he can. So this Sefer HaChochmas of Shlomo HaMelech is something that's invaluable. How would he hide it? And therefore he reinterprets that this Sefer HaRefuos is not at all a valid, reliable text. And he goes into great detail about why and how dangerous it was to rely on some of those remedies that were really not medically and scientifically based. That's a very, very famous Rambam in Pirush HaMishnayos in Masechta in Masechta Pesachim. The Chasam Sofer, in his Pirush al Torah, in Parshas Mishpatim, explains why those who disagree with the Rambam do so, and differentiates between a ra'ev, a hungry person, which is built into teva. That's not a result of chet. When a person's hungry, it's simply a result of the fact that he didn't eat, and therefore he has to go out and eat. He doesn't need any special permission. But when it comes to illness, they come upon a person as a divine punishment, and therefore to interfere and meddle with the divine punishment in order to, by using and implementing the medical remedies, that's a bit of a problem. We are called upon to accept God's judgment and to pray that He should have compassion on us. In any event, since this pasuk of Verapo Yirape is coming to teach us about refuah, why did it have to use a double language, Rapo Yirape? And that's something that's addressed here by Tosfos. He says if it would have just said Verapo, we would have thought that only a makosh and nestabide other mutulus rapos. Maybe we have spoken or classified hakah and illness under two categories. One where Reuven inflicted harm and illness upon Shimon, and another one where it came naturally and then it came from Shemayim. And we need the extra language here of Arapo Yirape, that not only is the medical practitioner, the physician, called upon to implement his knowledge in the case of a machla bidei adam, but even in a machla choli that's ba bidei shamayim. So that we need the extra word, verapo yirape. The Gemara now brings another brisa that deals with the case of a maka sha'ol bot smochi machmas ha-maka. Tan rabbanon, the Chachom in the Braisa say, Minayin shim olu bo tzmochim machmas ha-maka, v'nistera ha-maka, shechayv l'raposo. In other words, if the maka and the illness thereof is recurring, it's a recurring illness that requires extra medical expenses because of the tzmochim that resulted from this maka, and chayv litin lo shivto. How do we know that he has to pay not only ripui but shevis talmud loma rak shivto yitain verapo yirape? And the double language of verapo yirape teaches us that the chovel has to pay even for this damage, this nezek. And of course, the pasuk equates shevis to ripui to teach us that not only does the chovel have to pay demei ripui in this case, he likewise has to pay demei shevis, and ripui and shevis belong to this one single indivisible unit. Yochol, I might think, afilu shelo machmas hamaka. And here we're going to have to get into the analysis of such a havamina, that even if the tzmochim and the spreading of this illness of this, through this maka, the infection has nothing to do with the original maka, nevertheless, I might think that the chovel still has to pay to make sheves and ripui, and the Gemara is going to explain what does it mean, shalom achmas hamaka, and what was the havamina that the chovel would have to pay for that. Talmud lomar rak. The miut of rak in the pasuk of shivto yitain is coming to exclude tzmochim shalom machmas hamaka. Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yehuda omer, af machmas hamaka potur. He, Rabbi Yossi, is of the opinion, and the question is if he's reflecting a little bit of the view of his father, that the chovel doesn't have to pay for machmas hamaka, for tzmoch olbo tzmochim machmas hamaka shenema rak, and that's going to exclude sheves. It means that the chovel does not have to pay sheves that is caused by tzmochim sheolbo maka. He only has to pay him for sheves from the maka itself. Now it's not clear what Rabbi Yossi's view is with regard to ripui, and here we have two opinions. Iko di amri, according to one opinion in the Gemara analyzing Rabbi Yossi in the Braisa, af machmas hamaka potu legamre. Legamre means that he's exempt from payment not only of sheves but even of ripui, despite the fact that it was machmas hamaka. And therefore, ki rabbonin basrai, this could only make sense according to the last shita, the three shitas in the previous price, and namely what we call the chachom achronim. They have a hekesh between ripui and sheves. And if there's a mute in the parasha of Sheves because of the word rak, and that's going to exclude and exonerate the chovel from paying damages of ripui, even for tzmochim sholu machmas hamaka, we have the hekesh to ripui, and ipso facto, even in the case of ripui, Rabbi Yossi would say that there's no chiyuv on the chovel to pay for ripui, the extended ripui of machmas hamaka. But ikar diamri, those who want to suggest that Rabbi Yossi is going to differentiate between sheves and ripui, af machmas hamata potami sheves, but chayav chayav bidmei, he has to pay ripui kiman kavua. Now, clearly, according to the second interpretation of Rabbi Yossi is reflecting the sheet of his father, Rabbi Yehuda, as we saw it recorded in the previous brisa, to differentiate between ripui and sheves. In the case of sheves, the chovel is pot. In the case of ripui, is chayev. And the reason for that is because there's a mute in the parsha of sheves, whereas in ripui, there's a ribui. Omar Mar, getting back to analyzing this rice, and we've been waiting for this moment for a long time. Yochel, I might think, afilu shelo machmas hamaka, that the chovel has to pay even for extended payments that have nothing to do with the original cause, the original maka tamaloma rak, and that for that we need a mute of rak. Shelo machmas hamaka, boy. Is there any rhyme or reason or logic that would dictate that the chovel should be paying for these tzmochim shalomach masamaka, such that we need a pasuk of rak to be mechadish to teach us a mute that he doesn't have to pay? Amri, they say, my shalomach masamaka. You want to shed a light on this phrase of shalomach masamaka in this context? Kidisan, you have to quote, invoke another brayse, shrei ovar. Al divrei rofe, we're talking about a case where the nechbal, the victim, violated the mandate of the physician, and the physician told him, you know, stay away from sweets. V'yochal dvash, al komin mesika. And why did the physician tell him to stay away from these sweets foods? Because v'neisha dvash kol min mesika kashim lemaka, they are detrimental to the maka, and they encourage infection, etc. Ve'hela makoso gargusni. As a result of the fact that this patient, in our case, the victim of the chavola, went ahead and violated the mandate of the rofe, then part of his skin actually died. Is yochel yehei chayev l'raposo? Perhaps the chovel is chayev in ripui, because in this case, fundamentally, it is let's say it this way, there are two contributing factors to cause this expansion of the maka. There's on the one hand the original maka, which is now spreading, but on the other hand there's the intervention of the chola himself, the nechbal himself, who engaged in eating these sweets which he shouldn't have done. And therefore, since there's an element in which the chovel is the original cause, if you will, the prime mover, if not for his hakah, this expansion of tzmochim, etc., would never have come to pass. Therefore, he should be chayv l'raposo. Talmud lo marak, the Torah tells us in the parash of Sheves, this mir of rak, to tell me that since it was the nechbal who violated the recommendation of the rofe, therefore the chovel is exempt, he's exonerated from payment for this extended to may ripui. My gargusni, what does the brisa mean by gargusni? Omar Abaye nasa krichta, which literally translates as basar mes, as dead flesh. And my asute, what is the healing process for this basar met? You know, it's like a frozen piece of flesh. Allah vikira vikabla. What you need is a certain growth, a certain vegetation, which is called Aleph Hey Lamed Ahal, and you need Shava, you need Kira, which is wax, Vikalba, which is a certain kind of syrup or serum that you'll find in the chavios Eitz shel yayin. You know, they used to have wooden barrels where they kept the wine, and as a result of the long process of aging the wine in these wooden barrels, the wood itself would have a certain serum to it. It's called a sraf, and that would be beneficial to bring this so-called dead piece of flesh back to life, to give it a kind of a tchias hamesim. The Gemara now wants to address the issue of certain things that the Chovel wants the Nechbal to do within the context of the Chiyuv of Ripui. V'i Amarle, the Chovel turns to the Nechbal and he says, you know what? I'm a doctor, and I myself will personally implement medical procedure to restore your health. Amarle, the Nechbal could say to him, you know what? I'm not interested. You know, you damage me. Dames olai ka'arye arva. You appear to me, Milosh and Dimyon, in my eyes, like a lion that ambushes me in order to pounce upon me. When it comes to a process of refuah, then the client, the ill person, has to have some faith in the rofe and believe that he'll get, you know, nachas ruach from the rofe. Not that he should be in constant fear that the rofe might, you know, cut him this way or injure him that way. You're like a lion that's my enemy, that's going to ambush me and fool me and injure me. I can't trust you, and that's not my refuah. The Amar Leyan, let's say the Chovel turns to the Nechbal and he says, my sinan as, I'll bring a physician, the Magon b'Magon, he will bring you back to health, and I don't have to pay him because he's a relative of mine or a close associate of mine. He works in my office. You know, we have partnership in the Mirpa'a. He says, Amar Leyan, in such a case, the Nechbal still has a right to counter against the Chovel and say, Asya de Magen Benoch, Magon Shova. A free physician is worth nothing. He gets paid nothing, he's worth nothing. And the reason for that is he's not going to put himself out and extend himself for the sake of my refuah. If he's not getting paid for that, it's not worth a dime. And that's not a refuah that I'm going to rely upon. And I don't have to rely upon it. For example, if a Rofi is being paid for his services, he has a certain busha from the Chola, and he takes his time, he extends his refuah. The tsar of the Chola is something that impresses him, that makes an impact on him. He's going to really put himself out for his client. But if he's doing it gratis, that doesn't have the same level of motivation. The Omer, what if the Chovel turns to the Nechbal and he says, my sinaloch asyarachik, I'll bring a physician from far away. He's a good buddy of mine. I'll pay him a slashed price for his refuah, but he's an expert. Omer le, the Nechbal could counter and say, asyarachika eina avira. In the case of when a rofe is on a long distance call, you know, he comes from far away, he doesn't really care much about the chole, literally, eina avira, even if the chole, if his patient goes blind, because he's not trying to maintain a local reputation here. He's here on a temporary basis, traveling through, he's going to go back far, far away to his distant hometown, and he's not interested in maintaining his great reputation. And the language here is Einom is Bayish Mibnei Ha'ir Im Lo Yirapeyu Heitev. If he fails in his attempt here locally, he's not in a state of busha. He's not inhibited by that. Now, the Meiri has a comment here, which he says that a Rofa who comes to be Merchak, even if he's not a Mumcha, he's going to fool and present himself that this is a mumcha. You know, normally, you know, when you come into a doctor's office, he's got all his plaques on the wall and all his, documents on the wall. But here, he's coming as a moving man. He doesn't have any of those, so he might present himself as if he is the expert in that field when it's a lie. He has no documentation to back that up. The Rashash adds that the issue here is just waiting for the doctor. The Nechbal has a right to demand immediate medical care, And if you're bringing in a rofe from Yehupitz land, you know, in the meantime, the patient is, the Nechbal is going to suffer. The Amalei Hech, now we flip it around. Suppose the Nechbal turns to the Chovel and he says, you know what, don't pay me the Dmei Ripui, but Havli Lidite, just give me the sum of money and I'll put it in my bank account. Vano Masena Nafshoi, I'll take care of my own refuah. And l'chor, that looks like a very good deal. You know, let the Chovel just pay him a sum, right at the check, and then fire it again, and then that's the end of the story. No. Amar Lei, the Chovel has the right to say, you know what, I don't trust you. Maybe you want the money more than your health, and you're going to pocket this money, Pashat b'nafshecha, and you won't implement the refuah. Why do I suffer, the Chovel suffer? Because Shachalt Minoi Tfei, that's going to ultimately cost me more money, because I'm going to have to pay for additional illnesses that are caused by the original illness because you failed to take care of it. Or alternatively, as the Gemara adds here, the Omar Lei, if the Nechbal turns to the Chovel and he says, Kotzli Mekitz, you know, give me a certain sum of money for Tmei Ripui, and we'll bring in a rofe who will evaluate exactly what it costs. Give me that price. Give me that check. And you won't have to pay an extra dime. So even if you're afraid that I won't take care of this and I'll be poshea because I want your money, you won't lose anything by it. Because the guarantee here is that this is exactly the price and the maximum, the ceiling price that that you have to pay me. No. Amalei, the Chovel could still turn to the Nechbal and say, Kolshkein, the Pashata Menafshecha, is Karile Shara Mazik. If you don't take good care of yourself, and you don't utilize these monies that I gave you for refuah, my reputation is going to be down in the ground. Why? Because people are going to say, I'm a Shara Mazik. Look at this guy. He's still walking around with canes, with a cane, and he's limping around. Why? Because of my reputation is going down because you're not taking care of yourself. So it's in my interest to see that the money is given over to Beis Din, and Beis Din is going to guarantee that the money is used in the right way. Tana, we learned in a brisa of Vekulon, and in all the four chiyuvim mentioned in the Mishnah for Chavol, that's Tzar, Ripui, Shevas, Uboses, Mishtalmim, Bimokom, Nezek. They are collectible, and the Chovel has to pay these chiyuvim, even if he's paid for Nezek. So for example, if let's say he took off the arm of someone, he's going to pay him Dmei Nezek, how much he went down and devaluated his worth on the market for Avodim. But nevertheless, that payment of Nezek does not in any way exempt him and exonerate him from all the other Tashlumin of Tsar, Ripui, Sheves, and Boshes. Minani, Miliad, we know this. Omer Avzvid, Mishmei Derov, Omer Kro, Petza, Tachas, Potza. And Lechora, these are extra words. They're totally superfluous. We already have Kviya Tachas Kviya. Why did the Torah add Petza Tachas Potza? Litein Tsar Bimokom Nezek. To obligate the Chovel to pay in addition to Nezek, Tsar. Hi, the Gemara says, Mi boiler, but we need Petza Tachas Petza for another halach, another derivation. And that's here on Daf Pei Hei Amid Beis L'Rabos. Shogeg Ki Mezid. And ve'ones ke'rotzon, that the chiyuv of chavola applies, and in general in Odom HaMazik, whether he did it deliberately, that's called mezid, whether he did it inadvertently, that's called shogeg, whether he did it ones, because he was forced to do so, it's the same as if he did it berotzon. And the Gemara answers him, Cain, if the pasuk here is coming to teach us, petzatach ha'spotzah, that he pays under all circumstances, that the chiyuv of Odom HaMazik is all-inclusive and absolute, is nichto kra, the Torah could have sufficed by saying, petza befetza, my petza tachas petza, shma minotarite, could derive two halachas and two dinim from this pasuk, petza tachas petza. Number one, that is a chiyuv to pay, that the mazik pays whether he's shogeg or onus, and number two, that he pays tsar bimokom nesek. Rabosai, it's getting late now, we have to daven mincha, so we'll stop here, and Bli Neder will complete the daf, the Amud here, Pehei, Amud Beis, in the very next year.